We were adopted. We're the adopted sons and daughters of the living God. Now listen to me. Before you were born from above, God was your judge. But when you were born from above, God became not your judge. He became your father.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back to Love Never Fails, and thank you for tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study of Hebrews chapter 12 with part 2 of Where God's Discipline Takes Us. Now, Pastor Bill.
He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly, meaning early in life. You don't wait till they're 22 and say, you better straighten up. You understand? And may I say something about spanking a child and all that? You know, it's easy to spank a child. No, it's not really, but okay, I'm spanking you. Don't ever spank a child in anger. That's horrible. Listen to me. To spank a child is one thing, but if you neglect a training in righteousness, you're the one who's done wrong. There's more in the Bible about training them up in the way they should go than taking out a paddle. Do you understand? No, that's just so sad. Listen, our Heavenly Father, man, He disciplines His children because He loves. And God's Word just said right here to earthly dads, if you don't discipline your kiddos, you know what? You hate them. What a word from God. You understand? Man, listen, that's powerful. In other words, an undisciplined child is an unloved child. That's what God said. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 23:13. He says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod. Oh, dear Lord. And deliver his soul from hell. In other words, you want to make sure his eternal destiny is heaven. Amen. Now you say, I'm not gonna mess with that scripture. You know, that's just I tore that out of my Bible. Well, my grandmother didn't. She never read a self-help book because they didn't have anything like that back then. You know what my grandmother did when I did wrong? You know, we lived on a farm. She'd go, Billy, go cut a switch. I said, all right. I'd go out there, I'd come back with the skinniest, rottenest, bring it to her, and she'd go, she'd look at me, and I know that look. She said, Billy. I said, I know, Grandma. I want the big one. I don't want to get off, but I'm going to say something. I remember when I was 5 years old, because my grandparents raised me until I was first grade. And we lived on the farm. It was a wonderful time. I mean, nearly 1,000 acres, and it was beautiful. And farming chickens and pigs and snakes and, man, windmills and horses. It was like a kid's dream. I never wore shoes, you know, climb up the windmill, had dirt around my neck. I was Davy Crockett, man. And my grandfather, now my son Thomas is named after him. My grandfather was named Woody Thomas Pierce. And he had a cane, carved cane, that he walked with. So we sat down. When Grandma fixed food, oh, man, I mean, we didn't just have sausage. We had a whole plate of sausage and ham and bacon and a whole tray of eggs. You follow me? A homemade jelly. I mean, it was good. Oh, and so, but I remember that day. I didn't empty my plate. I said, I just mouthed off. I'm a big, tough five-year-old. I said, I'm not eating that. And my grandfather said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not eating that. And I said, old man. And I said, you're not fast enough to catch me. Because he was old. I ran out that screen door, God is my witness, and he got that cane just like this. And he threw that thing, hit me in the back of the legs. I fell down, and I'm not going to tell you what he did. But I will tell you that I went back there and ate that food. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:4, don't discourage your children, but train them up in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's get back out of parenting and let's get over here. Verse 8, he says, but if you, Christian, talking to us, the Jewish believers in us, but if you are without discipline or chastening or correction of which all have become partakers. In other words, all believers or all true sons of God share in that. Then you are illegitimate and not sons. The word "but" there starts a powerful contrast, okay? Children of God and not children of God. He says, listen, he says, if there's no correction in your life, you live in any way you want. You don't want to walk in love. You don't want to forgive people. You just come to church and just live like hell out there. I'm going to tell you something. If there's no correction in your life, you're not saved. I didn't say it. The Word of God just said it. You are illegitimate. You have never been born again. You're not part of the family of God. You've never been part of the family of God. You are illegitimate sons, not true sons and daughters. Why? There are only two families, spiritual families on this earth. 1 John 3:10, children of God, children of the devil. That's it. Now, y'all can read that later. Wasn't that good? Furthermore, we have all had human fathers, and look what they did, who corrected us, and we paid them respect. In other words, okay, we yielded to them, they corrected us, they disciplined us, and sometimes parents, fathers, well, we may have disciplined our child horribly the wrong way, amen? It says, we paid respect unto them. Now look, the contrast. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits, or the Father of all life, if you will, and look what he says, and live. In other words, really have true life on this planet. Now, if we respected our parents, our fathers, who were fallible, how much more should we respect our Father in heaven, who is absolutely perfect and infallible, and his corrections are never, well, maybe this will work like parents do. You know, you get with the wife, well, what are we going to do with this kid? You know, no, God is perfect. Everything he does, he knows exactly how to correct and discipline, and all his ways are absolutely perfect, loved one. Amen? So he says, for they, verse 10, meaning the earthly fathers, indeed, for a few days, just a few short days, brief time in life, it says, they chastened or disciplined, corrected us as seemed best to them. But, you know, was your best perfect? No, mine wasn't either. Did you ever spank the wrong child? Okay, what are you going to do about that one, huh? Okay, but he, our heavenly Father, it says, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, earthly fathers, it says, few days, there we were. They corrected us. They disciplined us. They did not do it every day, but in the lifetime that we were there with them. And that's very important that I said that, because that verse is not speaking of duration of time. It's speaking of the significance in that duration of time while the discipline or correction was taking place. Very, very, very important, loved one. See, what our earthly parents did, it doesn't have, not necessarily eternal significance. What our Father does is eternal. Man, listen, and what seemed good to our parents, man, listen, it wasn't always best for us. And I know that parents do their best, you know, but sometimes we discipline. I'm guilty. Sometimes we discipline our children. We did it the wrong way. And sometimes we did it the right way, but we erred. And no one ever just said, you know, when you get married and you have kids and say, yeah, I know how to raise my kid. No, you don't. Do you understand? All of a sudden you go, oh God, help me. You know what I mean? You need God's help. Oh, it's a big job. But our Heavenly Father, he corrects us, and it is absolutely perfect. And he does it for our profit. What is God's purpose? God's purpose is his discipline. So we will be holy, for he is holy. Holiness is his life. That means we share his life, loved one. That's what this scripture means. And we are being conformed into the image of his Son. Now, look at it, verse 11. Now, no chastening, discipline, seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Now, Thomas, my son, when he was a young boy, he did something wrong. He didn't come to me and go, Dad, okay, I know it's time for that, you know, that whipping, you know, or whatever. He didn't say, now listen, Daddy, I don't want you to use that little skinny sissy belt. He says, I want you to go back there. I'm going to go get that big leather strap. You know, the one with the metal studs in it, little spikes. Said, that's the one I want to use. You use that on me, okay? No, that's not how it works. You look at it again. It wasn't joyful. No, it's painful. Now listen, have you ever asked yourself, I know I have. Have you ever been disciplined by God for year after year after year? But you don't know it's God. You don't know why you're going through it. and you're crying out to God and you're blaming God. Why are you, if you love me, all those things, we've all been guilty because we don't know these scriptures here. And we blame God when it's not God. Have you ever asked yourself, how far will God go in his discipline with you? That's a very important question. Some of us, we can be disciplined in a heartbeat. Take Peter, for example. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Amen. There he was warming that. You know, Jesus has already, the Roman soldiers already beaten him halfway silly and all. He was a mess in his face. And then there was Peter warming himself by the fire. And for the 3rd time, you know, he denied the Lord. And then the Lord was being brought out by the soldiers, remember, through the praetorium to the next trial and so forth. And it says that when Peter denied the Lord, what did Jesus do? Yeah, it says Jesus turned with his face beaten almost beyond recognition. And he looked at Peter. And it wasn't with eyes of hate or anger. It was eyes that melted Peter's heart. And what did Peter do? The Bible says in Luke 22, I think it is 61, verse 61 through 62, it says, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. His heart was broken. How about Saul, the Apostle Paul, when met on the road to Damascus? Remember what Jesus, the resurrected Savior, the ascended Savior, met him, saved him. And what happened to Paul? The light was so bright, it blinded him. Man, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? Man, how about Jonah? I mean, how would you like to be Jonah? God, you're talking about correction. I mean, how would you like to be out of Grapevine, you know, and go, well, I'm going to go fishing, and, you know, and you're supposed to be going to Keller, but you went to Grapevine. In other words, Tarshish, get it? Never mind. And, you know, so a bunch of fishermen say, what's going on, this horrible thunderstorm? We don't have stuff like that. Yeah. And you go, well, I'm running from God. You better throw me over. And God says, oh, it's a good plan. I love it. It throws him over, and what kind of a huge fish? We don't know what. It was big. How'd you like to be swallowed by a fish? How'd you like to be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish? Huh? Is that correction? Let me out of here. Come on. Yeah. Do you see? How far will God go? How far does he have to take you in your correction, Christian? We need to think about that now, 2024. I'm telling you, every decade, every year is not getting better. We've got to get this into our heart. You know, the Lord, when I was young, when I went into the ministry, I thought everything was good. I thought I'd matured. I thought I was really knew what I just thought I was okay. For 5 years, God corrected me. I thought he was going to kill me, but I didn't know it was God. I thought it was the devil. I was binding devils everywhere, man. But it wasn't. It was God. Here's what he did, and I don't have time, but when I went into full-time ministry, before I had anything, when I went into full-time ministry, he took everything, everything, no, everything, my pride, my dignity, myself, and he took something from me that I'm eternally grateful for. He showed me, he showed my wife, that I am not the source of my resources. I have always had peace knowing that now, all through the years. Never again have I ever looked, and with an honest heart, never again have I ever looked at me as the source of anything. God has done it all. Everything. For 39 years, everything. Not me, him. He is the source of all that we have. I never worry about money again after that. Do you understand me? I never worried about food. He brought people to my door in my church, in the where I pastor. I had no food. You've heard me talk about it. And people would bring garden food to me without me asking. Out of the garden. Because we had nothing in the house. I could not get a job. And I was skilled. I could not get a job. And I thought it was the devil, but it was God. He would not let me work. And I finally, listen, I finally got a job. I told you I was going to be a bouncer at a comedy club. That didn't work. Hey, I was buff back then, okay? Yeah. I got hired by a guy, okay, in construction. He said, and I had to drive 50 miles to where I had to work. And this is what he paid me. He said, I'm going to pay you $38 a day plus your lunch. I said, you're going to what? That was the only job I could get, $38 a day and my lunch. we lived below the poverty level for 5 years. 5 years. And God trained. He trained. And you know what? Today I go, thank you. When I understood it, when I said, oh God, this was you, I didn't know. That's why these scriptures are so important, because I was blaming God. That you, here I left all that, Lord, you know, I was like a big crybaby. Are y'all with me? Are you hearing me? This is so important right now. And you got to get this down. You got to get it into your heart. Because after it's over with, look what happens. Nevertheless, afterward, after the correction, after the pain, after all that you go through, look what it does. It yields. It pays back. Look at the harvest it gives you. The peaceable fruit of righteousness to whom? To those who have been what? Trained. God trains you. That we get our word gym from that word train there. Meaning that God says, I'm training you, man. I'm training you to be useful for me, for the kingdom. You're supposed to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, child of God, fisherman of men. He says, I'm training you. After God's discipline is over, you go and you say, man, I've been stripped bare. He says, oh, no, you haven't been stripped bare. Man, you have been equipped. Do you understand? That's what God does. And that fruit of peace, which comes from what? How is it the fruit of peace? You are now conformed to His will, to His plan, to His purpose in your life. And you're doing exactly what He wants you to do in the race of faith that you're running. That is so important. You know, Job put it this way, Job 23:10, but God knows the way I take, Job cried out. He says, but you know what? When God has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Listen, when Job wrote that, when Job said that rather, when he said that, Job said, I don't know why. I've lost everything. And he had, remember? Everything. He says, here I am. I'm sitting in an ash heap. And I've got boils all over my body. And he was innocent. He'd not ever done anything wrong, really. He was upright. And he says, I've got worms crawling out of me. He takes a broken pot and he starts scraping his skin. And he's got three crummy friends, remember, that are sitting there accusing him. Oh, listen, that's a lot of fun. No. And he goes, listen, Job's word of faith. He says this. Listen to me now. He says, when the test is over, when God is finished correcting me and discipline, whatever it is he's doing, when it is over, I'm going to shine like gold. Gold is never afraid of the furnace. Amen. Did you know that? Gold is gold. And that's what Job said. Now listen, I have to ask you a question. What do you say? See, you have to, what do you say when you go through the test of life? Do you say, oh God, why? Why are you doing this to me? You need to just be like Job and say, no, I know my God. I know that He knows the way I take. I don't know what's going on, but I know He knows. And when it's all over with, I'm going to make it. Vance Havner put it this way, sometimes your medicine bottle has on it shake well before using. That's what God has to do with some of His people. He has to shake them well before they're ever usable. Amen. What kept Job? What kept him going? What kept him enduring? Why didn't Job quit? Because faith in God and His promises was his foundation. Amen. Let me give you the scripture here. Job 23:11. My foot, Job says, oh, it's held fast to His steps. I've kept His way and not turned aside. I've not departed from the commandments of His lips. Now listen now. I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. What a word is that? Listen, Job, had he lost everything? Had he lost his house? Had he lost his health, his wealth? Did he bury his 10 children? Listen, he lost everything except his wife. I'm sorry. He lost everything, but he had not lost what he treasured most, God's word. Job said, I would rather starve to death than lose God's word. What a word is that? He was sustained in the trial, saying, okay, you're testing me and I'm going to make it because God, if it's you, you're going to make me come forth as gold. Amen. That's what it's all about. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands with hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, stop being discouraged, talking to them and to us as well. If you're being disciplined by God, it's because He loves you. In other words, they had to run the race of faith. We have to run the race of faith. Hands that hang down, loved one, are your hands hanging down? If they are, they're not praising God. Amen? They're no longer serving. They're no longer helping other people. They're just hanging down. Feeble knees. What does that mean? They're no longer running the race of faith. They're just a bunch of wounded warriors. Verse 12 is a direct quote from Isaiah 35, verse 3. Let me read it to you. God says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. What a word is that? Listen, we don't have to be limping believers, feeble believers. We need to run the race of faith by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. He says this, and make, here it comes, and make straight or make right paths for your feet. So, look at the reason, so that what is lame, what's spiritually crippled, may not be dislocated, but rather healed. In other words, keep your feet in the straight path that God has laid out for you, meaning the race of faith, and run it. And how does it happen? It says, and here it is, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. Listen, I don't know about you, but God's lamp, has it ever gone out? No, has God's word or the Holy Spirit or the Lord Jesus Christ, will he ever lead you in the wrong path? Will he ever take you in the wrong direction? No, never, loved one. In the right path for us until we go home. The right path is only by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the only reason there are so many discouraged Christians and feeble Christians today is they are going down the wrong path. Why? They will not receive, or they do not know, or they do not understand that God is correcting them. That God is disciplining. Get off that road. Get off that path. You can't go that way. You've got to go this way. But they go, oh no, this is God. You don't know these scriptures. You don't know it's God. You think it's the devil or whatnot, or I'm just doing my own thing. Well, you're fighting against God, loved one. When you lose it all and you find that God is there, that's all you'll ever need. He is all that we ever need, loved one. Listen, we don't want to run down the wrong path. It says in Proverbs 4:10, hear my son, receive my sayings. The years of life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. And when you walk in your steps, you're not going to be hindered. You're going to run and you'll never stumble. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just, here it is. The path of the just, that's us, justified by faith. The path of the just is like the shining sun. Don't you like that? It's all like the shining sun that shines ever brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The longer you run the race of faith, the older that you get, if you're receiving correction, if you're letting God correct you and not fighting against God, and if you know it's God correcting you, the longer we run the race of faith, it doesn't get darker. It gets brighter. And it gets brighter and brighter. Are there fights along the way? Oh, of course there are. It's the good fight of faith, loved one. The race of faith is a well-lit path that finally leads you and me to the land where there is no more night. And God does something. He corrects us to keep us on the path that one day leads us to that perfect day. Oh, I said, oh God, listen, that, you want to know where God leads us? The discipline of God leads us? The loving discipline, correction, training of God. Where does it lead us to? It takes us finally one day and we will enter into that perfect day for all eternity. For all eternity. That's where the Lord leads us with his discipline. He's guiding us home. Amen? Listen, if you're running the race of faith, you're on his race course. God is the one who will write the last chapter of your day, the last chapter of your life. Why? Well, then you'll see that the just shall live by faith.
Well, next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's Hebrew series, Jesus is Better, continues. And in this next message, Pastor covers essentials for the race. And we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you, as always, for the privilege of your time. God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.